Now, just a little bit, like I said, I started my career off there, and I was raised with these guys that was that were professionals as far as soldiers concerned, and it rubbed off on me. I wasn't the best of soldiers going in. I stayed in trouble all the time. But they took me under their wing and they helped me. And so fast forward, God allowed me to get saved at the same place that I came in and started my Army career.
Yes.
And guess what?
Yeah.
The person that led me to the Lord was a soldier. And like I said last night, it was one of them along the way. He was out in the workforce. I was out in the work area. And he told me about Jesus Christ. And I got born again. Amen.
Amen.
And I struggled, and I'm going to say this because I want people to understand. I struggled for staying in the Army. I struggled about staying in. I wanted to get out there and maybe become a missionary, things of that nature. But God said, look, this your mission field right here.
That's right.
You got people that's on the crest of going, dying at any moment. You start telling them about Jesus Christ. Say, man.
Yep.
So I got was in the independent Bible-believing church there, Gospel Baptist Church. They're right outside the gates of Fort Bragg, filled with Special Forces, JSOC. We had a bunch. We had Special Forces people running the sound system. I would hate for folk to come up in that church wanting to start something. I mean, it was just crazy. But those guys loved the Lord, and they had me in the book, in the book, God's book, all the time. Challenging me. Going soul winning with them. I told a guy the other day, when we hit soul winning, we hit a project. They knew we was coming. We hit it in full force, about 40 or 50 folk, boots on the ground. I think drunks sobered up when they seen us coming. People hiding their bottles. I said, don't hide it from me. You need to let God have it. And so it was like that. That's the culture, the environment God raised me in as far as my Christianity. And I was bold with the gospel. I'll never forget, I went to advanced school, and I was an honor grad. And so if you graduated number one or number two or number three in your class, then you had a part of the ceremony, the graduation ceremony. You know what I'm saying. And so they knew I was a preacher. So guess what I got? Opening prayer.
Amen.
Amen. I said, bring it on. And but the commandant, not the commandant, his right-hand man came to me and said, hey, Davis, you're going to have to pray at our graduation, but you can't pray in Jesus' name.
Oh.
And I looked at him. I said, okay. Well, you don't want Davis to pray then, right? That's what you say. That's what you're saying. You don't want Davis to pray. That's what you're saying. Huh? And so he went into the office to the commandant, said, Davis, he's not going to pray unless he pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So commandant said, well, tell Davis he can pray like he want to pray. I said that to tell you this. Look. The military has 254 religions that they recognize, and might be more than that, and one of them, Christianity, okay?
Yeah.
So if anybody tell you on active duty that you can't do what your religion said, you need to go to the chapel, somebody else in confidentiality, and tell them, let me see it. Because I rose my right hand to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, so help me God. And you have appointed that chaplain in that chaplain office, and you recognizing what the Muslims do, you recognizing what the Wiccas do, witches.
Come on.
Huh? They recognize the witches. So by God, you're gonna honor what I got to say and do. See, we got a challenge. And like I said, and this might be for somebody that's got people in the military or whatever, what needs to happen is some leaders, per se, some leaders or the subordinate leaders hadn't educated themselves on religious freedom. And so they'll tell you anything. So you got to check it out. So, you know, that was one of the big hallmarks of my career as I was going up, was challenging the commandant on praying at a opening ceremony in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And I thank the Lord for it. But I think after that, I didn't have no problem out of the army with my stand. Matter of fact, we'll go to ceremonies. Y'all probably had ceremonies where they had grog bowls, alcohol beverages. Well, Priscilla will tell you, we had to go there because we was leadership, but they had a non-alcoholic one and they had a alcoholic one because of our presence. And also, when they started their ceremonies, when they wrote their ceremonies out, they wrote it to where all the formal stuff was up front. And when they got ready to do their little partying and dancing, yep, then they knew me and Priscilla was gonna make our way out.
That's right.
So it was planned into the ceremony. So they stood up, lights on, I shook hands and we was gone. See, we got to make a difference wherever we at.
Yeah.
The problem is people trying to be undercover Christians and not being bold, not allowing the Holy Ghost of God to lead us through this thing.
Yep.
And that's what needs to happen. So we did that. And then I never forget, I was in Korea and had two outfits in Korea, and I got a call that they needed me to take 4th Infantry Division to combat. And so I left one unit, and the next day I took that other unit. And if y'all don't know it or not, during 2008-2009, when I think President Obama took over, it was a change of mission. Everybody thought we was pulling out of Iraq, but we wasn't. It was in the media that we was. You might have had some combat engineers, you might have had some small people, but aviation was there in full force. Matter of fact, we were lacking a whole brigade of assets. That's 110 aircraft. So going in the theater, they told me and the commander, they said, look, you ain't going to have all the assets. Matter of fact, you're going to go in about 75%. You're going to have to fight this thing. And some guys in the room, leadership and myself was in there, and some of them were saying, well, we need to wait. We need to wait before we leave. I said, no. The unit that we're going to replace been over there 15 months. And if I got to go over there by myself, well, they need to come home. So everybody heard that loud and clear. So we figured out how to get over there with 75% of our assets. I got into Kuwait. We had to wait on pilots coming out of school. I had cherries coming out of school. And we got in the theater, though. I'll never forget. Kuwait, 3 o'clock in the morning. I told them, look, we don't have all the assets, but we gonna fight like we got 100%. I want cooks to know how to do a gun. I want admin specialists to know how to shoot all weapon systems. We cross-trained folk. Long story short, we went into the fight. At the end of the fight, 9 months of the fight, we were covering down from Missoula all the way to Tallil. Tallil is where the Chaldees at, where Abraham came out of. So we had pretty much the whole length of Iraq. But never forget, when I was moving assets down into Ur of the Chaldees, a.k.a. Tallil, it was a habu. She know now because I told this story 100 times. A habu, if you educate yourself on the Iran hostage rescue, that's what they hit, and they was browned out and they killed them soldiers. Well, coming out of Ur, I never forget, brother. I was going in the Ur of Chaldees, and I said, look at all them pagan monuments. They still got pagan-like monuments down there. And I went down, did what I had to do, and on the way back, we hit a habu, man. And these things, they run for about 80 miles and about 800 feet up in the air. When you get in them, you can't see nothing. I don't know if Sergeant Major been in a habu yet, but it ain't no joke. It's real fine, fine desert sand, and it gets into everything, but it messes up aircraft. And so we got into that thing. I was left door gunner, and we have in the CH-47, we got a rear door gunner, and then you got your right door gunner. I take left hand, left, because I'm a lefty. But the pilot called and said, I can't see nothing. Said, left door, can you see anything? Right door, can you see? No. And you got one of those quiets that you know something is going on. Something finna happen. So we hit that thing, and I was praying, crying. And all of a sudden, we figured out that if we, because you got an aircraft behind you too now. And he can't see you. So he need to slow down. Both of y'all need to slow down. So we said, we're going to right pedal this thing, ease it around, and try to make it back. Because if we go any farther, we ain't making it nowhere tonight. So we rotated back, and then finally I seen a glitter of light. That was the greatest light that I ever seen. It was the landing zone. We seen that glitter of light, and we finally landed on in there. And they said, Sergeant Major, we're going to try it again after this thing passed. I said, no, not today. We're going to shut it down till tomorrow. So tomorrow means that you can't fly CH-47 in a day. You got to wait a whole nother night. But God had me on Tallil for a reason. We had a warrant officer that was there, that was out of my church, that was going through some issues. And guess what? I was there to encourage him. I didn't know he was going through them, but I found him. And everything for the child of God is for a purpose. Amen. And a reason for it. Amen. Did it take a habu to do it? No, but that's what God wanted me to turn around. Yes. And I helped this guy, and he's preaching now, I think in Kansas right now. He was going through some things. So I go on and on with stories, but God brought us up out of Iraq, that 3,000 there. We went in with less than what we were supposed to have. Whole lot of killing going on, whole lot of fighting. And God brought them all back home. I never forget when we got to Fort Hood, and I seen all them kids and all them wives and family members. I said, this is it, brother. We're going to retire. And I'll never forget my boy. He was about this little. I don't forget how old he was, but he was crying. I had never seen him cry that like that unless I whooped his little behind. He ran out there and he said, Daddy. He said, I got a question for you. He said, do you love them folk that were shooting at you? I said, yeah, I love them if they allow me to love them. I even leave them to the Lord. Yeah. Amen. First, I didn't know what to say. But that was, I think that was right to say that. And that was. If they allow me to, I lead them to the Lord. So that's a little bit of what went on in my life as far as that. But after that rotation and I was getting ready to go to Afghanistan, I got a call to go up to the headquarters. I didn't want to do that. I struggled for that position. Going for 3,000 to 50,000 troops and the headache to come with it, I really didn't want to do that, brother. But, you know, Priscilla says she don't remember me saying it, remember her saying it, but she told me, that's selfish if you don't take that job. And that kind of got into my crawl there, and I said, you right. That is selfish, ain't it? So I went on and took 3 Corps in Fort Hood. Right after the shooting, brother, after Hussein had killed 13 of the soldiers there at Fort Hood, and the place was chaos and timidness, I had to take that headache. And the little gray hair on my head came from that, I truly believe. But what I did was I tried to instill in confidence in there that this is the greatest. This is America's hammer. And y'all the greatest soldiers on the planet. So you act like it. Yeah. We even did this. We had a UFC. I don't know if some of y'all do the UFC thing. We put it in front of the Corps headquarters. We had all the heavy hitters during that time come in. And we just had a big gathering. I wanted, because we had never, since the shooting, we had never had nothing outside because people was all timid. I said, CG, we're going to have a carnival out here. And that was the best thing that we did for Fort Hood, to build the confidence in them that we in them and back in America from Fort Hood. So, I just wanted to share some of them things of that part of my life. And we're going to be in Romans chapter 6 today. And the stories don't go with this message, but kind of do. I don't know. I'm going to preach on the newness of life. Walking in newness of life. We're going to be in Romans chapter 6. Walk in newness of life. I'm not talking about your old ways. We got old paths here. But we walking in newness of life. And I'm going to explain myself here and after we read these passages of Scripture. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? And we'll get this done so I can get Brother Murphy can get up here. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall what? Walk in newness of life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this night you've given us. Amen. Lord, thank you for the liberty that we had. We have had this week to preach your word. Lord, help us walk in newness of life. Yes. You did everything so we can do it. Lord, I ask you to just help us open our eyes and remind us of that tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Walking in newness of life came through the blood of Jesus Christ. He came and he died. And he was, hey, he died on that old rugged cross. And he was buried and rose the third day victorious over death, hell, and the grave, so that we can walk in newness of life. Amen. Now I tell you, some of us, and I got a little illustration piece, some of us are still in these old chains. We're in these chains of sin. It ain't because of Jesus Christ, my friend. Don't be blaming Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, on your habits. If you got a drink habit, it's sin. If you got something going in your on your body that God said you ought to abstain from, it's sin. You in them chains, amen. You in them chains. God is a body. God is a chain breaker. Yeah. Break the chains of sin, but you got people wrapped up. They can't move. And you know what? The important thing about this, we need to get this. Hey, you might be a child of the King here, and you got a relationship with God, but you're out of fellowship. You ain't got no power. You think you running around here sneaking, smoking, and drinking, and carrying on, and womanizing, and looking at stuff you ain't got no business looking at, and doing some things you ain't got no business looking doing. You are wrapped up in the chains of sin. No power, huh? You ain't got no power. What power? You sitting in and want to pray. Hey, like I tell folks, hey, if you pray for me, if you can get one through. Bible says you regard if you regard iniquity in your heart, he will not hear you. God has an order, and once you get his order out of order, then we got issues. We've got churches, these ecclesiases, these called out body of believers, that half of their church is in chains. They can't get no, they ain't got no fellowship with God. They don't have no communication with God. They ain't got no power. So when the tsunami hit, when the problems hit, then guess what? They allude to sin. They allude to something to settle their mind. I told y'all Sunday, I had a friend of mine that was in and out of jail, in and out of jail, in and off them drugs. He was saved. But the chains of sin got him. He wrapped up. You know, sin tastes good, look good sometimes, but it ain't good for you. Yeah, right. So guess what? He overdosed last year. I prayed for him. That's all I could do. I even gave him money to try to get him another start. I'm going to do right. But he was in them chains. He put them on. God didn't put them on. Let me tell you something. Walking in newness of life, you make the choice. God done already died. He ain't dying no more for no sins. I'm going to show you that here in a minute. So let me show you something here. Let me show you something in the passage of Scripture. Let's start with 6. We're going to start with 6:3. Chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was risen up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." You see that? See, when you were saved, amen. When you were saved, then baptism came after that. Baptism don't have nothing to do with your salvation. It's the obedience after salvation. First step of obedience after salvation. But not only that, it's a symbol of the death of Christ Jesus. So look at this. Baptism looked back to the death, okay, and the burial of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then it looks forward in the death of your sin, and then it looks forward to the resurrection and your newness of life.
Amen.
So remember when your pastor got you up in here and baptized you, he said you are buried in his likeness, amen.
Yeah.
And raised to walk in newness of life, amen. Don't forget about that. The chains came off, amen. When you was born again, them chains came off. It's kind of like this. Hey, that was just a symbol, okay? Symbol, it was a symbol of reality. But the reality was that God died for your sins, amen. And you were saved. Once you called on a solitary Savior, you were saved, sealed, and you can sustain, like I preached last night, amen. Because of what? The power of God. Amen. Jesus, amen, saved my soul, amen. He made me whole. He set me on a solid rock, amen. And now I can, I'm on a great foundation. That foundation does not have any cracks in it. It is leveled off, and all I need to do is shoot from the gospel gun, amen. That's what we got to do. But you got people right today. You might have some today in this congregation that has a relationship with God, but they are wrapped up in the chains of sin, amen. We got them all over, and you wonder why are they going through the same old. They got problems at home, problem with their children, problem on their work, problems at it. They not in, because you ain't in fellowship. You ain't got the power of God on you, because you're wrapped up in chains. God can't hear you because you hadn't allowed him to do anything for you because you're in sin.
Come on. Man, come on.
So that's what we got. Then you calling everybody and anybody for help instead of going vertical to God. Am I right about it? I've been there. I know. I've been there. We going to everybody, well, I need help with this and I need help with that. And then we hadn't examined our own self and looked in the mirror and said, man, the problem is right here. I'm locked up with sin, man. The problem is right here. And don't get me wrong, some of it is subtle. Through the eye gate and the ear gate. Through the eye gate, I'm almost 59 years old. But I'm going to tell you, that phone will get you in trouble.
That's right.
You get going through some things, and before you know it, something done popped up that's immoral.
Right. Yep.
We got to be careful more than ever now because we're in the information age. Yes. We got access. Yep. Anything. We can go anywhere, right? It's the information age. So we got to guard our eyes. We got to put the discipline and the standards on some things. Now, I'm talking to some people that want to be strong in Christ Jesus, don't I?
Amen.
Now, if you don't want to be strong in the Spirit of God, if you don't want to be strong in your faith, then go on. Live like you want to live. Let God cut you off early and carry you home. Like the blood knife, y'all remember it the other day.
Yeah.
It tastes good, but it's killing you.
Yep.
It's killing you.
Amen, sir.
Them old wolves, they'll get on that blood knife, and boy, they done cut themselves up, and then they start attacking each other because of the blood. That's what you see. Turn on any TV, and you're going to see people fighting in the streets.
Yep, that's right.
Yep. Tit for tat. Well, they did it. Why don't I do? I mean, it's sin after sin.
Right.
That's what we got today. But God said, look, I died for you. I was buried for you, and I rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave so you could live and walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians says this, for 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Galatians 6:15 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. We need to recognize that God saved us, amen.
Amen.
But you still, he's God. He's a sovereign God. He ain't going, he going to prick you every now and then, but he going to allow you to make your choices. So if you allow to put these chains back on, which he died for, he shed everything. God sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for you so you could be free indeed. Amen.
Amen.
We are free indeed.
Amen.
We need to realize that dead, we are dead to sin and alive to God. Somebody need to write that in your Bible. Remind yourself that you are dead to sin and alive to God. In your passage of scripture, in this text or in this chapter, it has know that our old man is crucified. Number two, know that when Christ died, he died no more. He had to do it once. He went in there once, amen. Not no sacrificial lamb every year or a goat that he had. No, not in the Old Testament. No, he went once in there.
Yeah.
My Bible said when he was on the cross and said it is finished, everything paid attention. The sky went dark, didn't it not? Hey, the rocks cried out, didn't it not? Earthquakes, amen. Hey, the veil in the tabernacle was rent in two. Hey, people was running around that had been dead, walking around in the streets. You tell me if that was a significant emotional event. My God said, it's finished, amen.
Amen.
And I believe him. So we don't have to walk around all locked up, chained up, no power, no nothing. See, let me tell you something. Walking in newness of life is walking in victory. You know that? That's 1 John 5:4. 1 John 5:4 said, whatsoever is born of God has overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let me tell you something. You are overcomer. Huh? I'm an overcomer. We can come out of these chains, mister. I'm out of them chains. I'm an overcomer because of him. Whatsoever is born of God has overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. We need to know that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to, ye are to obey. You're going to obey them. No, and then this fourth no is no. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Brother Murphy, he quoted this the other night. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The death of the Redeemer on the cross involved as a consequence the death of his people to the world and sin. I'm dead to it. Amen. We got to tell ourselves that. Amen. I told my son, I said, look, he in the army now. He said, Daddy, how can I be a great soldier? I said, look here, this is what you got to do, son. You got to get it in the book. You got to do what good soldiers have done in the past. You got to act like a soldier. You got to eat what soldiers eat. You got to talk like a soldier. You got to be a professional. Let me tell you something, Christians. Same way in the Christian soldier world. Amen. We are saints of God. We are soldiers of the faith. We got to get in this B-I-B-L-E. We got to eat like a soldier. We got to walk like a soldier. We got to talk like a soldier. This the immorality that I'm seeing in this nation just makes me sick. Amen. None of the people that I see and qualified to be my president, none of them. I don't say, God, hey, if they ain't seeking God, they don't need, I am praying for Hezekiah, amen. Amen. Hezekiah came in here, everything that didn't look like God, he tore it down, didn't he not? Yeah. Everything that didn't honor God, he tore it down. You know why? Because he wanted to please him who has chosen him, and that's Jehovah God. I don't care if I make churches, oh man, well, he's in this and he's in that. No, I'm not in now one of your parties. I am with God, and I'm in his camp. Amen. And I am happy to be like that. Amen. Because I want to please him. Amen. I don't, look, if I don't please you, that's okay. But I want to please headquarters. Amen. That's who we need to be pleasing, right? We need to please headquarters on our actions, on our behaviors, on our, you know, we got to let our family know. We got to let people know that, look, hey, God got his hand on this nation, y'all. But God is God. He's sovereign. He's controlled. He's in charge. But he expects discipline and standards. And he wants us to get in there and get and seek him on a regular basis. Because he wants us to be, look, come, hey, he wants us to be transformed to the image of God.
Amen.
How are we going to do that? Through the word of God.
Amen.
He wants us to raise these young ones to fear God.
Yep.
Amen. He wants us to get out there and be a light in a lost and dying world.
Yep. Right.
I'm going to tell you right now. Stuff I see, I get upset. I don't know about y'all. I got to stay prayed up, brother. I have to stay prayed up. Disrespect, I ain't going to tolerate it. People want to go run around here, and they want to disrespect people. I see people don't even open the door for people. I get upset. Yes, I do. Elderly lady right there, and these youngsters run around, don't want to open the door. Come on now. That's the kind of little small details that get big stuff, but we missing that. We got to get to it. We got to walk in newness of life. If we're going to walk in newness of life, then we got to thank God that we out them chains. We out them chains. Then we got that fellowship with God. Amen. We don't only have that relationship with God. We got that fellowship with God. And then he said, follow me. And then he said, you get in that book and you reading about God. God is revealing some things through a biblical worldview. Not CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Truth Tell, or whatever.
Right.
Biblical worldview.
Amen.
That's what we need in order to turn this nation around. We ain't going to turn around, probably not. But we can start one at a time, condition this formation one at a time. I don't want to lose a generation. I don't want to see a Joshua come off the scene in the next paragraph, it says, there come a generation that knew not the Lord. That's the saddest passage of scripture in Judges. What happened to the elders? What happened to the people? What happened to the people reminding them of the fundamentals of the faith? Amen. Walking in newness of life. Knowing. We must in verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servant to obey, his servant ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. And that's what I'm talking about, obedience unto righteousness.
Amen.
We got to obey God. We got to obey God. And number four, last but not least, know for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We got people out there dying and going to hell quickly. I'll never forget, never. April this year, I was in a prison. And there was a boy in there that had got his leg, his right leg was blown off. Didn't have his right leg. Probably was in a shootout or something. And I went beeline to him because he looked as lost as lost can be. Eyes was just empty. So I tried to go to the hard cases first. He looked like a pretty hard case. The sad thing about him was he was just cold. Didn't want to hear anything about God. Had his little friends out there kind of mocking him and things of that nature. He wanted to be impressed by them more than hearing the preaching of the word of God. You ain't got to see that in prison. You see that out there on the streets. So, hey, the only way we're going to get through anybody is we got to be walking in newness of life, walking in the Spirit of God, in, hey, in a fellowship with God in order to penetrate these cold hearts that's out there. I'm going to tell you right now, some church members done gave up. Because they ain't seen no power. You know why? Because they done put them chains on. They all wrapped up in sin, bitterness, and well, I'm them kind, I don't even want to fool with them. It's not skin winning either. It's soul winning. Amen. 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 We need to realize God see all that. God sees it. Amen. God sees it. And he gonna deal with us on that. At the bema seat. But we got this, wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. They need to hear that, but it's a gift. It's a gift. And we need to tell him. So Colossians 3:10 says, and we're going to close here, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on that new man. Now I was saved, I put on that new man. I ain't always walking straight. I had to get on my knees and say, God, forgive me for my sins. I told the church, look, if I don't stay in my word and on my knees, I'll be meaner than a junkyard dog. I don't want to go there. But if we don't be truthful with ourselves, and say, I am in need of God on a regular basis, then we ain't in fellowship, we in sin. I had to tell them, I'm running to my prayer closet because I know me. God saved you from the penalty of sin. He saved you from the power of sin. The presence of sin is still around. This flesh can get involved in some mess if you don't be yoking up with God on a regular basis. Amen. Walking in newness of life. And don't get me wrong, it's some hard times coming for all of us. Look at Joseph. Now let me tell you something. Old Testament saints, hey, they was looking forward on what was coming. Grace, by faith, we looked on what God had did, and he's coming again. But they were looking for. But let me tell you something. Joseph was the same as he was in the pit, as he was in the palace, as he was in the prison, as he was when he got lied on by Potiphar's wife. Steady kill all the way up. And he said when he got up there to Potiphar's sucker man in charge, he said they might have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Yes. Didn't he not? Yes. He threw them chains off and he left them all. Yep. God blessed him. And he want to bless each and every one of you. He want to bless us. But we got to do it like God has set it up. Buried in his likeness, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Each and every one of us, Father.